How do you understand your employer brand? You can aim to win awards. You can launch a new career site. You can activate beautiful campaigns. You can spend a ton of money on making everything shiny. But how do you measure how you're actually performing in the eyes of your candidates, employees, and alumni? We have developed the Employer Brand Index to help practitioners understand their company's reputation as an employer. It gives you a quantitative and qualitative understanding of what talent thinks, presented in an easily understandable score and actionable report. Learn more at employerbrandindex.co.
Hey, son, Sveisan, it's Jorgen Sundberg here with the Employer Branding Podcast, brought to you by your friends here at Link Humans, where we do data-driven employer branding. Today, we're going to talk to someone who's worked in the tech industry for years, and she is going to share her perspective on employer brand versus recruitment marketing and how employer brand extends beyond recruiting and how it is about people experience. And we're going to learn her best tips and tricks as well as a pitfall to avoid. So let's start the show. Hey, Marilyn, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing today?
Hi, Jorgen. I'm good. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. So please introduce yourself. Tell us about your company, your role, and what brings you on the podcast today.
Yep, sure. So my name is Marilyn, and I currently lead employer branding and people communications at Klook. So I currently live in Singapore, so I'm calling in from Singapore right now. So I was born in Singapore, but half my career was spent in Amsterdam. So I had a chance to live and work there for a few years. So I only moved back to Singapore just over a year ago. So I think in the last 10 years, I've been quite lucky. I think I've got the chance to experience, you know, culture and the culture of tech companies. So I've only worked in tech companies my whole career. So I worked at Booking.com in Amsterdam, Grab, which is the super app of Southeast Asia. Just under a year ago, I joined Klook. So Klook is a travel technology company. Yeah, so it's a platform which, you know, brings the best local experiences to our customers. So as a consumer, when you travel, I think the trend now is to look for like the local experiences. So we aim to bring the best kinds of experiences to our customers. So it was founded in Hong Kong 6 years ago, but we've since expanded pretty fast. So we're quite well known across Asia, but we're also venturing into Europe and America. We are also, you know, looking for the best talent to join us and to stay with us. So that's why I was brought in. So I was brought in to start the employer brand team and, you know, help position the company as an employer of choice and help us gain more brand awareness as an employer.
Yeah. So you're in the travel industry. How has COVID-19 impacted you and both in terms of the business and also in terms of hiring plans?
I think the whole travel industry is affected, right? Because with no flights, you can't travel. But I think the lucky thing with Klook is that we are able to change courses to go into more domestic experiences. Like even if you can't travel, you can explore your backyard. So there's so many things you can discover about your own country or your own city that you may not have known. So we're able to bring that to you. And then we also started this like virtual interactive experience. So I joined this virtual tour where somebody from Casa Batlló in Barcelona. So I got to see inside of that attraction that was designed by Gaudí. I didn't get on the plane to go to Barcelona, but I had a chance to experience it. So I think we have a lot of opportunity there as an experience company. So we're not just a travel company. It's also about experiencing. In terms of my own, I actually feel even busier than before. As we'll talk about later, employer brand is not just about recruiting. It's given everyone a space to, you know, look at optimizing processes that we didn't have time to look at. For example, look at onboarding, look at topics like diversity and inclusion, look at things like engagement. So I've actually been still pretty busy myself.
Great. You mentioned that employer brand is not just about recruiting, which I definitely agree with. In your mind, how is employer brand different from the recruitment marketing, and which one is more interesting to you?
So I think the objectives of both are fundamentally quite different. So employer brand is more of a long-term strategic function, whereas recruitment marketing is tied mostly to short-term conversion-driven goals. So in recruitment marketing, you would probably be working on a per campaign basis or a per role basis. So I think the best way to think about it is linking it back to the consumer world, because it's not that different from what we're talking about here with employer brand and recruitment marketing. So in the consumer world, you know, you might buy a product because you like the brand, and then you buy it over and over again, and you tell your friends and your family to buy it because you just love the brand so much for whatever reason it is. But you could also buy a product because you saw an ad and it looked attractive and had a discount. And of course, it's, you know, exactly what you need right now because we targeted you and we're able to know what you want even before you know it yourself. So similarly with employer branding and recruitment marketing, I think we're talking about the same thing. You with employer branding, you know, you impact people by making them think that they want to work at your company because they think they love your brand so much and they're wowed by all the content that you put out about your amazing work culture. Or maybe they also had a friend who worked there who swears it's like the best job ever. But we also have candidates that applied because they saw a job ad while scrolling Instagram, or, you know, because the recruitment marketing team has targeted you, you clicked the job ad, thought you could do the job after reading the job description, and then you clicked apply. So you can see in this kind of example that I put out that they're actually quite different, the objectives that we're trying to achieve here. Of course, they're very related, right? Because the more brand awareness we build, the more applicants we drive in. But, and it's a very big but, employer brand doesn't end there. Because it's, like I said, it's a long-term strategic function. It's not enough that you bring in the candidates because you're dealing with people. We're not dealing with products. Right, with a product, if you don't like it, you just return it. You stop using it. But with a job, you can't return a job. You can't return a job if you don't like it. And actually, it takes a lot of time and consideration for someone to actually apply. Because in some cases, it's a whole kind of life change. Sometimes you apply for a job in another country, you got to move across borders. So if you don't meet people's expectations when they join, let's say you promise them freedom to innovate and a diverse work environment, and they came in and they found, oh, that's actually not the case. That's when people are going to get very, very upset. And, you know, most of the time for employees in the first year or probation period, the reason if they leave during the first year or probation period, the reason why they leave or they start getting disengaged is often because the expectations we promised them were not met. Employer brand also plays a big role to ensure that as much as we are selling a narrative, it has to be an authentic one. So we can also look internally. So it's not just external communication or content marketing that some people associate employer brand with. We also need to look internally to see if there's opportunity for change or influence internal stakeholders. At least for me, many of my peers and myself, we take on kind of double portfolios. So I see peers who do employer branding and D&I, or myself, I do employer branding and people communications. And our targets are really not recruitment targets. Our targets are linked to things like engagement, retention. And to your question on which is more interesting, of course, to me, employer brand is more interesting. So I think it's a lot more work and a lot more hours you have to put in to build the right relationships in order to effect change. But I think in the long run, it does pay off. And if, you know, if you're good at what you do, you can actually see a culture shift happen sometimes if you work hard enough. And it's very rewarding to know that you played a part to make that happen.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's absolutely our view on employee brand. And it's really a number of experiences from the candidate to the employer to the alumni. And it's really an inside job and to work with all those the different parts of the business. So employee brand, so we agreed it extends beyond recruitment. So what stakeholders and internal teams should you be partnering with as an employer brand leader?
Obviously, employer brand does not end with apply now, right? Actually, it starts. That's just the beginning. Mm-hmm. And to say that, to truly say you're doing a good job in employer brand, you want to make sure that the people and the talent that you bring in, that they stay, number one, and that you also make them into an advocate of the brand. So some of my closest stakeholders are, and I think actually, almost everyone in the company is a stakeholder at some point in time. But some of my closest stakeholders are teams like learning and development, global communications or PR, for both media relations and internal communications. If there's an engagement or culture team, those are definitely key stakeholders. Office managers, because they know how each office functions and knows like all kinds of funny stories about each local office they manage. leaders of employee resource groups. Even HR VPs, actually the whole, everybody in HR or people and people and culture, where it's called at Klook. I think marketing, creative, of course, leadership. If you work in an employer brand, you would hold one of the most diverse networks across the business.
Yes.
I don't think I know anyone else who speaks to as many kind of different teams as I do on a daily basis. Because I think what I'm trying to achieve is to make sure that whatever I communicate externally is also a consistent one internally. I'm not doing my job if no one believes in whatever I'm trying to tell them, or if they're not willing to help me spread the word. Almost everyone at some point is a stakeholder of mine.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, everyone is impacted by the employer brand and your ability to attract and retain. So I feel like everyone is really in charge of the employer brand. As the leader can bring everyone together.
It's almost like you are drawing the dots for everyone and bringing everyone together.
And so you worked in tech for how many years now?
10 years, more than 10 years.
What have you learned from working in this environment?
I would say the tech industry is not for everyone. So I actually recently wrote a blog on LinkedIn about 10 questions you should ask yourself before applying at a tech company. And I'm not saying that all tech companies have the same culture, because they're all quite different. But I think there are certain elements that you need to be comfortable with and be aware of if you want to work in tech. So I think the common things you hear are that in tech, everything moves fast. It's like super fast. Change happens every day. So if you're someone who gets bored easily, or you love a challenge, like, you know, you don't want to do an easy job like me, for sure, I'd say please, yes, consider a career in tech. So I think change is the only constant. It's like an organized mess every day. In tech, we're also often very young. So the average age of employees is often in their 20s. So I'm above the average age already. Sometimes even early 20s. I mean, CEOs can be often below the age of 40. So to people considering joining tech at this point, if you're, you know, in a mid-career change, that's something really culturally you need to consider. But I think overall, there's an air of innovation. And there's this like sense and spirit of, we can change the future. We're here to build the future. And everyone works really hard, but also plays really hard. And usually the environments are diverse by necessity. It's not like a nice to have for diversity and inclusion. It's a must to have in tech companies. Because if you are building global products, you really need diversity of perspective in order to make sure the products are for global customers. Right? You can't build something that you think is good, but actually offends the rest of the world. So it's super, super important, especially for tech companies, to only bring in people who can fit into the culture. I mean, it's just fair to the candidate as well, because it will be very stressful for them and the team if you bring in a wrong culture fit. So I feel like this is something that people need to be aware of before they join tech. It's not that you're not good enough if you can't keep up. It's just that this is the environment it is, and you need to be prepared for that before you join it. I think often you can see the people who make it are self-starters, self-motivated, problem solvers. You know, if there's no solution right now, let's just build it, right? Why sit around, wait for things to go wrong? Let's just build the solution. I think that's what I learned about tech, and it's not for everyone. So I think I'm also not going to force people and say that it's the best job in the world. So I feel like even in employer brand, the authentic narrative of how a tech company functions becomes super important.
Are there any learnings from your years in working in the tech industry? Anything that applies to employer brand that our listeners can?
So I think I think I bring this spirit of self-starter, self-motivated problem solving, right? Because I'm sure you know employer brand is 8 out of 10 people I talk to, I said, hi, I'm so-and-so, and I work in employer brand, and they go, what? What do you do? what exactly do you do, right? Even within the company itself, I have to explain almost every day what I'm actually hired to do. Yeah, when I first started at Klook, I was actually brought in to start the team. And actually, that was one of the reasons I joined, because I was part of really great teams. My team sizes were around like 8 to 10 people on Booking.com and Grab, and I really wanted to see if I could build a team from scratch. So I was brought in the only person. Nobody before me was doing employer brand. Really, nobody knew what I was doing. I went in when I joined. I immediately scheduled coffee meetings of everyone who was willing to talk to me. And luckily, a lot of people are. So I, you know, asked them at length about what they wanted to achieve and then slowly let them know how I could help them. And I think you really need to be a hustler to work in employer branding. You can't expect like resources and trust to just fall in your lap. You've got to really work hard for it. And that may be hard or may seem unfair to someone who just joined employer brand from some other profession. It feels like you need to work extra hard and it feels like you have to prove yourself to every single person you meet and, you know, tell them, oh, this is what I can do and this is what I can do for you. Mm-hmm. And I think what helped me working in tech companies, like working in this environment, is that it really made me a hustler, right? I knew I had to already do everything from scratch. I wasn't expecting anyone to just give me or collaborate with me from the start. So I was willing to work for it. I was willing to solve other people's problems. I was willing to make connections and then show results slowly. And I think that's what really helped me gain a foothold in this profession and show my value in the companies I've worked at.
Yeah, and that's definitely a big challenge for a lot of our listeners. And what would be, I mean, you've already given us lots of great advice already, but what would be your top tips to our listeners or any pitfalls that they should avoid?
Well, I think a top tip is, you know, if you are working in employer branding, to stay focused on the end goal of employer branding. Because I think, mm-hmm. I mean, employer branding as a profession is super diverse. Like I have peers who report under marketing. There's some that report under recruitment. So, you know, if you're parked under recruitment or your manager is a recruitment manager, let's say, often you'll end up then only working on the recruitment marketing bit, right? You only take on projects that show results in the short-term conversion goals. And you kind of lose that bigger goal of brand building in mind. So I would say stay focused and venture beyond recruitment, because I think that's where you can really show value and contribute much more to culture building. A pitfall, I think, is maybe pushing too much if the company is not ready. So I think you have to understand that a lot of companies are at different stages. And also when you go in employer branding, you need to be aware of what stage that company is in. So if they're not ready, if they're not ready to, you know, accept big culture shifts, then you need to have a lot of patience and have patience to build trust. So employer brand is a long game. So just be patient.
Yeah, it's an interesting one because I speak to a lot of people who are working in perhaps marketing or in TA, and they want to do more employer branding tasks, or they want to sort of move into that sort of role. But the organization doesn't really understand employer brand or see its benefits. I understand you have to have patience, but what would be some of the best ways to prove that the value of employer brand, you think?
Well, I think what's really helped me, like I mentioned just now, is really knowing what your stakeholder wants. Yeah. Like if you can show through your capacity to help them solve a problem that they didn't think or didn't link it to you. Because like with the employer brand really stretches over the whole spectrum of the business, really. And there often is a people element or a culture element involved when something goes wrong, right? Or when they talk to you. So listen really carefully to what their real problem is. Don't go to them with your agenda. Go with the only focus of finding out what their problem is and how you can help them. And I think over time, you build trust and you build that relationship. And over time, you know, they will instinctively think, there's this culture topic or this problem, and they'll immediately link it to you. They'll immediately go to you for advice. So I would say, like, really focus on solving other people's problems first. You would see it pay off in the long run.
Yeah, I agree with that. Now, one challenge is that usually that the pain is someone saying, oh, I need 300 people and I need to start yesterday. Or, oh, we're losing so many people because of this toxic culture here. So they want a solution like straight away.
I think it's a balance because often, like we said, often employer brand and recruitment marketing are maybe the same person or within the same team. You need to look at both the short term and the long term. Of course, you need to give your stakeholders some, you know, some quick wins, but you also need to then link all these problems together to work on a bigger strategy and work with. You can't do it yourself as well. Like I can't change culture, I can't change things myself. So I need to find allies within the company to help me work on that bigger long term strategy. And in the meantime, I still need to deliver on the short term wins. It's a balance game most days.
Yeah, that's a good point. We as an employer brand firm, we sometimes help a client with activation at the same time as we're building their EVP. So yep. there's short term and there's long term projects. What is it that makes you love this role that you're in? You've been doing it for a number of years in different companies. What is it that makes the role special?
Well, I think I really like my job because I can see how much impact I have on the culture, right? And how when you do your job well, people actually become more engaged. They are more loyal to the company. They build more brand love for the company. And it actually has direct impact on their productivity, their creativity. And they're so much more willing to invest back in the company as well. So I think in an employer brand, because of how involved you are with so many stakeholders across the company, you also have the opportunity to bring people together. So if you're someone that really likes listening to stories, like talking to people, and this is like a great job because often I will speak to maybe three different teams and they're all actually working on the same thing in their different ways. And because they all spoke to me, I was able to bring them all together and we're able to achieve so much more. Everyone, contributing together than three separate teams. I like it because I get to talk to so many people and build real relationships with them within the company. And I think, of course, like the topic of culture and of people are by themselves super interesting topics to work on. So you never know what to expect. And you learn so much about the world by working with all kinds of people. And it really broadens your horizons and perspectives as a human being. So I'm sure you feel the same doing this podcast and speaking to so many people across the world as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's the best way to learn, speak to people for sure. Great. Okay. And if our listeners want to learn more from yourself and get in touch, where can they connect with you?
Yeah, sure. You can connect with me on LinkedIn. Just search for my name. And I'm always happy to have discussions about employer branding, culture, or just, making friends with other peers within the industry. You can also follow the Klook LinkedIn channel to see what my team is posting every week. So yeah, always happy to connect.
All right, Marilyn, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, that is it, folks. Be sure to reach out to Marilyn. Link will be in the show notes. We'll also add a link to the article that she referred to about working in the tech industry. And of course, if you want to check out travel experiences, be sure to have a look at Klook as well. And if you are interested in subscribing to this podcast, you can do so at employerbrandingpodcast.com, as well as on Apple, Spotify, Google, SoundCloud, and all the other places. Now, how do you measure employer brand? Well, we have developed the Employer Brand Index as a way to find out what's being said about your organization in an employment context by candidates, employees, and alumni. The Employer Brand Index is trusted by companies like Spectrum, RELX, and Amgen. Ready to establish your index baseline? Go to employerbrandindex.co to learn more. That is it. Thank you so much for tuning in and look forward to catching up next time. Hey!
So the recruiter asked the candidate, why are you asking for such a high pay when you don't have any experience in the field? And the candidate replied, well, the job is so much harder when you don't know what you're doing.